Hello there and welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Thank you so much for stopping by. My God, why have you abandoned me? That sound familiar? Ever feel that way? I'll tell you what, I have, and I want to talk about this on the program today. It's such an important topic for us because I think sometimes we feel guilty when we tell Jesus how we really feel. But it's okay to do that. We're going to look at a quick example of the apostles. And this is one of my favorite examples. I've talked about this on the show before. The apostles, when they were experiencing a storm at sea, and they felt that Jesus was ignoring them or that he was abandoning them, what did they do? They went to him, they woke him up, and they told him just that. And that's the point I want to make to you today. If you are struggling, if you feel that maybe the Lord has abandoned you, maybe you don't feel his presence, it's okay not only to feel that way, but to tell him you feel that way. Don't feel guilty about it, because that's one of the ways that your relationship with Jesus grows, is by you telling him exactly what you're feeling. So I want you to be honest with him, as does he. So we'll talk about that on the show today, and maybe it'll relate, maybe it's something you can relate to. I always look at it this way. If I feel the Spirit is moving me to talk about something on the show, there's a good chance somebody else is feeling what I'm feeling. And yeah, I'm talking about it today because it's something that I'm experiencing right now. Earlier today, I had a bit of a situation where I just did not feel the presence of the Lord at all. I knew he was there, but I didn't feel him. And one thing led to another, and I just felt the Spirit leading me to talk about this. I wrote about it in my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, as well. I put it on Facebook. This is what's on my mind today, so let's hope that it reaches the ears of those who need to hear it. And I got a feeling that that just may be you. Before I pray, I want to take a sip of my beverage du jour, which see if you can guess what it is today. Got a hint? Hear that? Yes, that is the sound of a can of Pepsi, which is my beverage du jour. I hope you have a beverage and a snack and you're ready to get started as we talk about the idea of Jesus, where are you? Jesus abandoning us. We're going to talk about that on the show today. But right now, let's pray, because even if we don't feel his presence, and you might not feel his presence right now, even if you don't feel his presence, Jesus is with you right now. Let's keep that in mind. Let's look at a picture of him if we have to. Maybe you have a picture of Jesus around your house. Maybe you have a statue. Use some sort of a visual reminder. When you pray, that's a good idea, because that helps you to picture him. Because otherwise, it's hard to picture him, isn't it? If you do that, it will help you. So I recommend you do that. Grab a picture of Jesus. Get a statue. When you talk to him, look at the picture. So we're going to remember right now that he is present with us, and we're going to turn to him in prayer on this, the solemnity of his ascension. Yeah, and you're going to see how this ties into the theme. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, sometimes we forget that you're with us. Sometimes we forget that you are present, no matter where we are. We don't feel you. We don't see you. Maybe our lives are just falling apart. We're praying for something. We don't appear to be getting any answer. And we just assume that you are not there. You're busy. You're off doing something else. But Jesus, in our minds and through the eyes of faith, we realize that's not true. You're always with us. Wherever we are, you're there as well. Jesus, we come to you today with our problems, our needs, our concerns. This coronavirus pandemic is a big one right now for so many people. We give it to you. We give you all of our problems. We give you all of our worries. We give you our family members. Lord Jesus, I give you this program. I ask you to send a special outpouring of your Spirit to me today, to give me the words to speak. The words that you want me to speak. I'm going to ask for that. Help me. Give me the words and open all of our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. Jesus, for these intentions and for everything else that we may need, even though we don't know what we need, we give it to you and we ask in your mighty name, Jesus, through the intercession of your blessed Mother Mary and the loving foster father who took care of you, Saint Joseph. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak, and I am going to be your host for the remainder of the half hour. If you haven't done so, head on over to followingthetruth.com and make sure you sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. It's going to cost you nothing. All you need to do is go there, click the button that says sign up for Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Fill it out with your email address. You could put your name in there, but that's optional. And then you will be on the list. And I usually send them out each day. It's scheduled to send out about 12 noon Eastern time. So it goes out every day. It's just a little brief reminder, a Bible verse, a little reflection that's going to help you to keep focused on Jesus and maybe give you some hope as well. And who doesn't need more hope, especially in these difficult times? So followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, let's talk about this. My God, why have you abandoned me? Comes from Psalm 22, verse 1. Of course, this is what Jesus said on the cross. He was fulfilling this psalm, this feeling of abandonment that so many of us have. Where are you, Lord? I got a big problem, and for some reason, you are slacking off, or you're not listening, or sometimes even you're not real, right? If you feel that way, your feelings aren't right or wrong. So please, don't beat yourself up about your feelings. There's a lot of times when I don't feel he's real either, but I know he is. See, sometimes you have to fall back on your intellect and on the gift of faith to say, like, in my head, I know Jesus is real. I know he is present everywhere. I know his Spirit lives in me, and I know where the Spirit is, the Father and the Son are as well. So the Father, Son, and the Spirit, they are right with me today. I feel them more on some days than I feel them on other days, and that's okay. What I recommend, and what got me started was I found a reference to this in my book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, when I talked about this idea of telling Jesus what you think. So many of us hold back. We hold back because we don't want to tell Jesus the truth, right? We do all the time. We do that. We treat him as we would an acquaintance. Sometimes we hold back. We can't tell people exactly what we feel, what we're thinking, because we know that if we do, we could do some damage. And that's a good thing. You don't want to just blurt out anything that's on your mind. Sometimes you got to use a little prudence. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, we have to be honest with him. And the first reason I would say is because he already knows what you're thinking. So we're not fooling him. We're not fooling him at all by holding back. He knows what we're thinking. So we might as well tell him the truth. The other thing is, if you want to have a good quality relationship with him, it's necessary to be honest with him. That's how you grow closer to him. I have told him many times, Lord, where are you? Lord, I don't trust you. But then you don't stop there. That's a starting place. Lord, I don't trust you. How about this? Please help me to trust you more. Please reveal yourself to me. Please allow me to have greater faith. Please allow me to have more confidence in you. You know, you turn it into a prayer. You just don't stop with the I don't trust you part. But even if you did, that's still not bad. That's definitely a start. Oftentimes we complain to other people, we complain to our friends, we complain to our spouse, we complain to our coworkers that my prayers never get answered, or we get frustrated with the faith or something. Take it to Jesus. That's the best way to handle it. Remember, Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? These words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, are in the Bible, and they're also words that were prayed on the cross by Jesus. So it really is okay to say, Lord, why have you abandoned me? And then, you know, expect an answer. Sometimes you'll get a feeling. Sometimes you'll get a sense of his presence. Sometimes you may just get the thought, well, I do know he's here, even though I don't feel it. You always will get some kind of an answer, but just keep at it. Give him a little time to come up with that answer. But if you're struggling with that today, I assure you he is with you. He has not abandoned you. But it's okay to ask that question. And today when I was thinking about this, you know, once I get these ideas for the shows, I'm pretty much thinking about them the whole day up until the time I record the program. I was thinking about in the shower today, the fact that when I'm in the shower, my wife's in the house. I know she is in the house, but I don't necessarily feel her presence. I didn't hear her this morning, but I knew she was in the house. And the same thing applies for Jesus. Through faith, I know that he's with me. I know that he loves me. I mean, look, he died on the cross for me. There's no way I can really justifiably accuse him of not caring about my problems. when I stop and think about it, he cares about me. He's present everywhere. He is all powerful. So why is it that I sometimes get frustrated when he doesn't answer my prayers fast enough? Could it be that for some reason he wants my faith to grow? He's testing me. And yes, he does test us all the time. He doesn't tempt us, but he tests us. Because that's how our faith grows. You know, if he doesn't answer right away, what he is hoping for is that we keep praying. And then that builds our faith so that we don't expect instant gratification. That's a problem. If we start looking at Jesus as a slot machine or as a vending machine where we put a coin in and expect to get something in return, that becomes a problem. That's going to kill our relationship with him, or certainly hurt it. We want to treat him as a friend where we trust him. And I trust my wife, I trust my kids, I trust my close friends. In the same way, I should be able to trust Jesus so that even though he doesn't answer, my first thought is that, well, he's not listening or he doesn't care. Because he does care. He cares about all of our problems. So keep that in mind. Keep that thought in mind today. And again, I don't believe in accidents, so I know that somebody needs to hear that message today. You need to hear the message that Jesus is there and he cares, even though he may be silent for the time being. He doesn't always answer right away, but keep talking to him. Because it's so funny, what he realizes is that if he gives us what we want, even if it's something that's good for us and that he is prepared to give to us, if he gives it to us too soon before we're ready for it, there is a chance that we're not going to talk to him anymore. One of the ways that he keeps us engaging in conversation with him is by making us realize we need him. And his love for us is so amazingly powerful that he's not even offended when we do that. You know, if somebody did that to me and they said, well, Gary, the reason I keep talking to you as my friend is because I realize you can help me, I would be really offended. But our relationship with Jesus, even though he's a real person and wants to be a real friend to us, works differently because he understands and he wants to be our provider. Now, he also wants us to say other things to him. You're going to make him really feel better if you thank him, if you praise him, if you just hang out with him, if you say, hey, Jesus, that was a really good donut I had earlier today. You know, this is a really interesting TV show. I'm really enjoying it, Jesus. It really is okay and encouraged for us to have that kind of a relationship with him so that we're able to talk to him in that way. And I would recommend that you do that, that you talk to him in a very familiar way and get used to that. For in doing so, you're going to really get to know him well and you're going to become even closer to him. Now, the incident that really comes to mind with this representation of Jesus, where are you? I don't feel your presence. Have you deserted me? Don't you care? My favorite example of this in the Bible is when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee, and I like Mark's version of this, when Jesus is asleep in the boat. This is Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. Jesus is asleep in the boat, and he even brings a cushion with him. Now, I've talked about the story before because this is a great story, the storm at sea, the disciples turning to Jesus. We all face storms in life, and that's typically the point that I make when I preach about this. But today, I just want to focus on the fact that they woke him up. Well, let me just read this; it'll make more sense. This is Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 37. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" So here these guys are having this really serious storm. And these are seasoned fishermen. So if these guys are freaking out because of this storm, you know that it's a really powerful storm. They are in the boat. The boat is filling up with water. This is, again, serious business. Jesus is asleep on the cushion. Why is he asleep? Because he realizes that he's in control of the situation. He can sleep. And they woke Jesus up. Now, at this point, They are feeling deserted. They are feeling desperate. They are feeling alone. They feel that they're about to die. When you look at this point in their relationship with Jesus, they're just learning about him. This is early on in their relationship with Jesus. Now, even though they had traveled with him and seen him perform miracles, they're still learning about all that he can do. This is a new experience for them, and they're still learning about all that he can do. And even though they didn't have a perfect understanding of Jesus, didn't have a perfect understanding of what he could do in their lives and the miracles that he could perform, they still knew enough to turn to him when they were struggling. They turned to him in their struggles because they thought somehow that he was able to help them in their situation. He was able to help them with their problem. And they turned to him and they asked for help. But I think it's fascinating to look at the words that they use, Jesus or teacher. Do you not care if we perish? Now, that do you not care, that's very similar to the expression, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you not care? Do you not care about me? How are you allowing this to happen to me? Do you not care that I'm struggling? And that's the question they present to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't respond in a way that we would expect. I mean, typically, we would expect that Jesus could, if he was like me, respond by saying, what do you mean, don't I care? How can you say I don't care? But he doesn't even respond to that with words. What he does instead was immediately calm the storm just by his mere words. He got up, he awoke, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still, and the wind ceased. Just like that, the storm was gone. Now, that doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen that Jesus calms the storm in our lives. Oftentimes, he just gives us peace in the midst of the storm. But the point is that whenever we call out to him, he's going to respond. But he might not respond with audible words. In this case, he didn't. He just calmed the sea. The storm went away. And then after that, after he had fixed the problem, Jesus asked the question, why are you afraid? Have you no faith? And I think that's a question we can all have to, we should all have to answer to Jesus when we begin to freak out when problems are occurring in our lives. Why are you afraid? Do you have no faith? And I think sometimes our faith really is lacking. We don't trust him. We don't think he cares. But the way that it grows, the way that our faith grows strong is by giving him a chance to work in our lives. In other words, you're worried about something, bring it to Jesus. If you're freaking out, I don't care if you have to say to him, don't you care, Jesus? That's okay. That's a valid question if you expect an answer. And again, don't be surprised if you ask a question like that, that you'll suddenly think about a crucifix or you suddenly think about what he did for you with his life and how he always put us first. And how he came to earth to suffer humiliation and discomfort so that we could be able to go to heaven one day. And once your thoughts start turning to that, you realize, oh, wait a minute, he really does care. But maybe that wouldn't have come about. Maybe that thought wouldn't have come about had you not asked the question. So go ahead and ask him. Go ahead and ask him. Now, I should point out also that in this case, the storm at sea, after he did this, after they saw what he could do, after they saw him still the waters and calm the storm, their faith grew. And they were in awe. And they were shocked. They were astonished what Jesus could do. Until you give him a chance to work in your life, you're never going to really understand that. Your faith won't grow. You won't experience his presence unless you really give him a chance. So if you're struggling today, if you're really suffering with something, bring it to Jesus. Give him a chance to correct it. Give him a chance to bring you peace. And again, I can't tell you how he's going to answer, but I do know he will answer in some way. And in my own case today, I brought it to him today. And for most of the day, when I was struggling, I wasn't feeling anything. But eventually, the situation did get a little better. But even before that, I started to feel a sense of calm. And I started to feel his presence. It started in my head with the idea that I know he's present. I might not feel him, but I know he is present. And then eventually it filtered down into my heart. Sometimes it doesn't happen that quickly. But I was aware of his presence at that point. So my encouragement to you today is go ahead and say, my God, why have you abandoned me, Jesus? You know, today is the solemnity of the Ascension. I realize it's not celebrated in every diocese. I thought it was celebrated in my diocese. I realized it wasn't. This is a new thing. It used to not be transferred. I'm in the Diocese of Trenton in South Jersey. And it wasn't transferred at one time. I don't really remember when they started transferring it. Now it's transferred to Sunday, which just gets confusing to me. I have a hard enough time remembering what day it is anymore. But typically today would be Ascension Thursday, the day that we recognize or celebrate Jesus' ascension into heaven. And at first glance, what do we think? He's leaving us, right? He's going up to heaven, far, far, far away, way, 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 way up in the sky. That's where heaven is. But in reality, he's with us right here. That can be very confusing sometimes. He's not watching over us from a distance, as the old song used to go, as the old song goes, but he is watching us. He's watching over us right with us. He's inside of us. He's with us. We are in Jesus. We're part of the body of Christ. So we are in him. He is in us. The Father's here. The Holy Spirit's here. Nobody's far away from us, even if we might not feel it at all times. But go ahead and ask the question, why have you abandoned me? Why are you letting my life spiral out of control? Why are you letting this storm happen? Every storm that happens is allowed to happen for a reason. The Lord would not let anything negative or unpleasant happen in our lives if he couldn't somehow bring good out of it. We get closer to him in the storms. And that's what happened with these guys. What if they didn't wake him up? What if they just kind of white-knuckled it and tried to do their best to make it through on their own? There was no indication Jesus was going to wake up. He was sleeping, right? He was sleeping right through the storm. He had his cushion, probably had his little blindfold on. He was just settled in for a nice nap. What if they didn't wake him up? They wouldn't have learned a great lesson that Jesus is bigger than the storm. So wake him up today. The storm won't wake him up. He's not going to wake up because of the storm. This proves it. What wakes him up is the cries of his disciples. So when we cry out to him, he will wake up. And as you can see, he didn't say to the guys, hey guys, why are you panicking? This is no big deal. You're fishermen, you bunch of wimps. He didn't say that. But because he wanted to show them and teach them that he was the Son of God and teach them that he had power over the big problems in their life, including the elements, right? What did he do? He calmed the storm. In your life, he may do that. He may not. He might just give you that peace. But are you willing to give him a chance? A lot of times, I think we're afraid to ask him because we don't know how he's going to respond. We kind of are afraid, well, maybe if he doesn't answer, then that's going to kill my faith. Or maybe, you know, I don't want to put it this way because this is probably not the best way to put it, but I'm going to say it anyway. What have you got to lose? If you've got a major catastrophe in your life, again, not even coronavirus related, what if you have like a major medical diagnosis or you lost your job or you're struggling in some way? Why not give Jesus a chance to perform a miracle and to fix it? I can't guarantee how he's going to fix it, but I guarantee he will do something. Give him a chance to work in your life. I have learned that he will not disappoint you. He is always there. He's always willing to get involved, but he will not force his way into your life. He's not going to force his way into your life, but give him a chance to fix it. Give him a chance to get involved. And you do that, you're going to be well on your way to a good relationship with him. When you get a chance, reread the story in Mark's Gospel, Mark beginning in chapter 4, right around verse 35, Mark 4:35. Reread the story of the storm at sea and talk to Jesus about the problems in your life. Don't be afraid to say, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? Why don't you care? And let him answer that question. I think you're going to be pleased. Okay, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you for listening to Following the Truth today. Remember to visit me at followingthetruth.com. For more information about my work, you can order all my books. You can find out about how to download my weekly podcast, The Gary Zimek Show. Obviously, you know how to download this one because you're listening to it. And you can also sign up for Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, my daily email devotional. If you are able, I would greatly appreciate it if you would consider making a donation to my ministry as well. You can do all of that by going right to followingthetruth.com. While you're at it, if you wouldn't mind letting your friends know about this program, I would greatly appreciate it. One of the best ways that news about this show spreads is by letting your friends know. So you can do that by word of mouth. You would be evangelizing in doing so, and you'll be helping me out because I can't do it all by myself. If you help out and let people know about the show, it is very, very much appreciated, and it helps the good news to spread, and it brings peace and joy into the hearts of people who very much need to that the peace and joy of Jesus Christ. So if you do that for me, I'd appreciate it. I want you to know also before we sign off that I'm praying for you. I pray for you every day. I would ask you to pray for me and my family as well. Man, it gets tough sometimes. We're all in this together, and this business of life can be difficult. We have the challenges. Believe me, I have them too. And I do pray for you, and I would ask that you would keep me in your prayers because your prayers sustain me, as do your comments, your emails, your kind words. It helps me greatly. So feel free to, if you need anything, to drop me an email at Gary@followingthetruth.com. That's Gary@followingthetruth.com. Or if it's easier, you can just go right to the website, followingthetruth.com, and click on contact, and you can contact me that way. All right, that's about all I have. God willing, I plan to be back with you here tomorrow, and I hope you can join me. In the meantime, keep hanging in there. Keep turning to Jesus, whether or not you feel his presence. Just because you feel something doesn't make it a fact. Feelings are not facts. So many people missed the point when Jesus resurrected from the dead. When he rose from the dead, people were sad. They were downcast. They were looking at the empty tomb. We saw a lot of tears. We saw a lot of dejection. People were disappointed. What happened to the Savior? We put all this kind of faith in him, and what happened? Well, we're still in that season. We are still in the Easter season where we reflect on the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. Death was no big deal for him because he's bigger than death. So focus on that. Just because you feel depressed, just because you feel discouraged, doesn't mean it's a fact. Jesus is here. He's big, bigger than any problem you ever have. He loves you, and he wants to take care of you. So turn to him today. Thanks for listening. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you next time on Following the Truth.